Every time I see you, I get a bad vibe.
All right, Nish. It's been a whole week since I did podcast, niggas, and I... Woo! Is the whole lot been going on me? Let me tell you, as I was sitting in the office today, I had a thought, and this is interesting because I was talking to my new hires that came in this week for training, and there's a seasoned therapist. She is fucking phenomenal. And her specialty is children. I know little children ain't my thing. I be trying. It just don't work. But you know, after probably about 11 to 12, we can work that. But we just sat and talked today for about an hour. And I was just going over a couple of my cases with her. Because I had to terminate a client today. And the thing that was really interesting was because I was not wanting to give up on her. Seriously, I didn't. But I knew that she didn't want therapy and it was going to be some real shit. But we talked about that. She was like, it's so hard, you know, terminating our clients. She's like, I be wanting to say, no, you're going to stay with me and we're going to figure it out. Like, you know what? Sometimes it's difficult. Having to make the call, right? When you could say, because really you terminate on multiple levels, but one of the most common terminations is when the client just doesn't want the therapy. You can't operate or work with them. So it's funny because I terminated two cases today. But I was able to process with another one of my hires today really what was going on with one of my clients. And I was able to break through to understand exactly what the issue was. So I might call her mom this week and give her my perspective. And see if mom could be able to encourage her in a way that will... She don't want to see me. But for her to get her mom to be able to teach and give her some healthy self-esteem. But at her age, it's still kind of hard to transition that space because of... This is the thing about therapy, seriously. Some cases, they're so extreme, you really can't do anything. You know there's something going on. You could tell the child is experiencing something. Something happened to cause this thing. But with any therapy, they got to be willing to do the work. And this is crazy. So I terminated two kids. So I had a complaint after they yes, because the mother wanted, the kids are not doing medication. So she's mad because she wants them to have their therapy. And they haven't been seen in a long time. So I dropped two and added two. And said, God must want you to see me. Because I just got rid of two. Whatever one can do to impact, even if it's not a lot, just whatever you gave. So, my statement was, you ready to talk? I'll be here. But this is an interesting thing that happened today. I feel like part of that prophecy that we were talking about, the one I had, used to play the tape over and over again with the mentor and all the growing and showing. Part of that prophecy came forth today. And I'm going to tell you how it came forth. So the seasoned therapist I saw first, she left and went home. So there's another therapist. The reason why I chose her is because she has a background in chemical dependency. And we're supposed to be having these two programs. So my mind is on her for running one of those programs. Uh-huh. Okay, so we talked about a lot of different things. And she was like, I know I'm going to learn a lot from you. I'm like, I ain't. We ain't even done here yet. She said, I want you to be my mentor.
So what?
In my mind, I'm like, I'm not even.
You are overly qualified. Don't even open your mouth
to
say it.
I was definitely going to say, I don't think. I have enough experience in the field, but
you have years of experience.
But the seasoned therapist was in private practice. Her ass was poaching the shit out of me. She said, I don't want you to feel some kind of way when I say this, but I want you. She said, but I want you to tell you what I mean, and we finna get some money. I like the way you work, and I like the way you think. I said, damn. Let me tell you. Over the past week, I have been praying, goddamn, and consulting, and dealing with God. I wanted to read y'all this thing that God gave me last night. And then we're going to get to some of these clips because I got some shit I got to handle because some good shit I done heard. And I figured, yeah, let's do it. Ta. I was listening to tour portions this morning and man, when I tell you this, brother, like, he laid it out. He was going down just over the Levitical order and the things that God had for them to do. And he said he was so meticulous. God is meticulous. And he's saying, if you off step, you don't play with him because you could die. But see, we don't really get that part, right? Like, because we're used to Jesus, niggas. But I was reading something yesterday and I did some studying on it, but I didn't really go to the place that I really could went, but I was like, I really need to read this psalm. So this is the psalm. Psalm. So you can get yours if you want, ma'am. This is Psalms 79. And it starts off by saying, O Elohim, the heathen are come unto your inheritance. The heathen has come to your inheritance. Mm. Semicolon meaning something important next. So that's something you really need to pay attention to. Your holy temple they have defiled. Mm. But sometimes we're looking at the tabernacle, but we're not always just talking about the tabernacle. Mm-hmm. We also talking about oneself. Mm-hmm. So if he puts you and selected you as a particular treasure unto himself, we have defiled ourselves. He says, they have laid Yerushalayim in heaps. Rubbles, there's nothing left. If you really look at half of the stuff, they burned down most of the rest of the ship in the 1800s. It was a whole year of fucking fires all across the Americas. That's if true. You just want to go and check and see. These are ancient buildings. They were immaculately beautiful. If you could just go and look at some of these buildings that were left and the magnitude and the craftsmanship. See, I like architecture. I love art. And I really love architecture. They destroyed everything. There were some immaculate craftsmen of old day. The shit they build houses now, they all right.
They were some sturdy buildings.
But that old shit news. Oh, goddamn. They are work of arts. Them homes are works of art from down to the mahogany and cherry wood beams and the intricateness of chandeliers and the details going on in the house with plaster and everything. It was, man, listen. Copper. Shit. Now listen, he says, the dead bodies of your servants, have they given to be meat unto the fowls of the heaven? And the flesh of your chassid, right? Chassid is your anointed ones. Your saints. Your set apart. Unto the beast of the earth. Meaning they just wouldn't need. They didn't even have decency to bury his children. So I'm reading this dialogue. Hold on. Listen to this. Hey.
Is there a bunch of water in the kitchen?
Yes, because your mommy dropped the ice, honeybee.
Okay. Again?
Oh, yeah, the whole thing just went plopping out of the damn freezer. So this is a discussion of the Trail of Tears. I said only sorcerers of his tribe had perceived that they were a special people and had given warning that they shall be left alone. And Yehoah and the God of these children of Israel is the true God. They had said, and everything inscribed on their tablets is true. And at the end of days, they will be lords of all nations of the earth. One nation will come bring many things to this land. Did it say Jerusalem, niggas? No. No, because that shit's here. They said they will come and bring many things to this land. This is the people that came when we were here. And after we have all been provided for, these children of Israel will go forth from where they are now and reign over the whole earth as they did once. But as the train of wagons and riders passed through Henderson, Minnesota, they were attacked by Samuel J. Brown, later called an angry mob, cursing, shouting, and crying. Men, women, and children armed with guns, knives, clubs, stones rushed upon the Indians as the train was passing by. We were just on the fucking train, kicked out of our land, being removed from where we were to another part of this land. And before the soldiers could interfere and stop them, succeeded in pulling many of the old men and women and even children from the wagons by the hair of their head and beating them and otherwise inflicting injuries upon the helpless and miserable creatures. Brown called the settler mob, as bad as savages. But we were the savages, right? Mm-hmm. That's what they said. Okay. And wrote that he witnessed an enraged white woman scratching a nursing baby from its mother's breast and dashing it violently to the ground. The baby was returned to its mother, but it later died as its body was quietly laid away in the crotch of a tree, according to the Dakota custom. Brown also recalled another incident at Henderson. As the train was passing through the town, one of the citizens had blood in his eyes, and half crazed with drink, rushing upon with a gun leveled at Charles Crawford, Samuel Brown's uncle. One of the friendliest and most, and was about to fire when the bold charger of the plains, Lieutenant Corporal Marshall, who happened along on horseback, rushed between them and struck down the gun with his saber and got Crawford out of the way, thus saving a life at his own risk. This is Samuel J. Brown, The Captivity, 1897. Let me tell y'all something. Mind you that they knew who our ancestors were, and they literally said that, right? Professing who we are now. That's 18, what? 97, niggas. Yeah, 1897. The dead bodies of your servants has given to be meat unto the fowls of the heavens, and the flesh of your chassid unto the beast of the earth. Dealing with lynches or lynchings and other things that represented bodies being left open without being buried. Let's not even talk about taking pieces, eating.
Yeah.
Making clothes and shoes and purses from the skins of our people. Their blood have been shed like water upon around about Jerusalem, and there is none to bury them. You heard what I just read, right? You can connect the shit out of this. We are become a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn, a derision unto them that are round about us. What is reproach? To criticize someone, especially for not being successful or not doing what is expected. What is scorning? A very strong feeling of no respect for anyone or something that you think is stupid or have no value. What is derision? The situation in which someone or something is laughed at and considered stupid or have no value. If you can't connect them motherfucking dots, I don't know what to say. For how long, Yehovah? This is the people. Will you be angry forever? Shall your jealousy burn like fire? Pour out your wrath on the goy, heathen, that have not known you. Well, how do they know him? You don't. They don't. Because they call it on somebody else. In a dialogue today, She said, "What you mean when you're putting Jesus on the shelf?" I said, "What happens when we worship in other gods and he's the creator and there's no mention of Christ anywhere?" I gave her Deuteronomy 13. She read it. She said, "I could see this." I said, "Yeah, that was written though as a declaration to Moses before the people even went in the city. So if he said this is to be established and then nobody is supposed to change it." But then she went, "Well, isn't that the reason why he gave us Jesus?"
He did not.
But that would refute what you just said, because that would be something completely different.
Don't add to, don't take away.
Come on. It's the very thing that when you read it, and his statement is to don't change. And if anybody come to you dreaming dreams, and then prophecy might come to pass. If it tells you to do something completely different than what I've given you, yo Moses, then we can't deal with it. I was hitting with laws today, and I'm like, she's like, "So," I said, she's like, "But we're talking," and I said, "You know, he even God's law said that she was betrothed." I said, "According to the law, implanting or having a child in a spoken for that man's wife is him violating his own law. Why would he do that?" And I tried not to spit a lot of shit at her because she's still trying to understand. I'm like, "Go home and read. Read the things I tell you and see. Because what you're really going to find is that God, they taught y'all man worship." Mm-hmm. That's exactly what that is. But he has the attributes of Israel. Like what the people said, right? That we're supposed to reign. They know this. The white people knew it, right? That's 1897. They knew who we were then. And then they literally said that when the end time come, see, y'all been told the world's going in. This is the end goal. It's going in for them. Do you understand that? That what they literally said when the end time come, that they will rule. Notice how they didn't say Jesus. Even the white man didn't say that. What was it? Did you see that they not even mentioned Jesus nor another king ruling? Oh shit, niggas. That's a white man's words. Did you hear him say Jesus? Or did he say Israel? I'm just wondering. Yeah, I thought so. So you should have already knew these come on with it now, goddamn. So how long, Yahuwah? Will you be angry forever? Shall your jealousy burn like fire? Pour out your wrath upon the heathen that have not known you, and upon the kingdoms that have not called upon your name. For they have devoured Jacob and laid waste his dwelling place. Oh, remember not against us former iniquities. Don't remember the shit we was doing, God, because we was fucking up. Don't remember it. Please forget the things that we've done wrong. That's the stuff our ancestors did that got you mad at us. Let your tender mercy speedily prevent us. Colon. Extremely important, for we are brought very low. Help us, O Elohim of our Yahshua, for the glory of your name, and deliver us and purge away our sins for your name's sake. I understand. With dealing with the stuff that we have faced, or our ancestors faced. But now that we've recognized this place, we know that it's like in a state of repentance, because once you realize what God requires of us, how much longer do we got to be in this mess? When we get to a place where we really cry out and we tired, we know that God needs to fix it all for us collectively. Because we individuals now crying out, God, when, how long? And I had a talk with Adonijah one time, and we were talking about if God really came back, none of us would make it, nigga.
No, I sure wouldn't.
I'm like, damn. He said, because the law is what we're governed by. And all of the bad habits we have that we even still refuse to actually keep, even in knowing what we should, because people, they fighting. You already know. You hear me talk about it all the time. If we're judged by the law and we God returns and we go back to our homeland and we judge by the law and we go in there with this shit we dealing with now. Yeah, none of us is going to make it, niggas. No. He giving us the time to get our get. He's giving us the opportunity to get our shit together. Because we really still battling. Think about it. The basic stuff, like holidays and shit, y'all still keep them.
Even down to the food.
Yes. All of this, the basic stuff that you literally can't cut out your life.
Everyday, day-to-day stuff.
The simple shit, like no holidays and just eating the Sabbath, and then and eating the right dietary law.
Yes.
We can't even get that right.
No.
So imagine the other things that we will be judged by as a nation of people. We wouldn't make it.
That's stuff we can
God control. Has given us an opportunity to get our shit
and
together.
That's only the stuff we can control.
Nigga, yeah.
There's a lot of the stuff we cannot. That we have no choice but to deal with.
That the hiding secret.
That is going
that
against
secret
the law.
Ship, nigga, that yeah, secret
it's
ship.
Going against the law. Okay? Yeah. You're surrounded by the enemy. But the stuff we can handle, we are even messing up on that. And those are simple tasks.
Yes, it is. And I really thought about it after we had that dialogue, and I was like, damn, my nigga, you right. Yeah, I wouldn't make it.
I would not make it at all.
I'd be all fucked up. Even though my heart would be in the right place. But when you think about this next statement, right? He said, we brought very little. Help us, O Elohai of our Yahshua, for the glory of your namesake, and deliver us and purge us away from our sins. For your namesake. Wherefore should the heathen say, here is their God. Let him be known among the heathen in our sight by the revenging of the blood of your servants, which is shed. You supposed to do something to us? Because we did something to your kids? We supposed to be afraid of you. That's a taunting there, is it not? Let the sighing of the prisoner come before you. According to the greatness of your power, preserve those that are appointed to die. Appointed to die. Because we could be in a space where we actually are.
There's no saving us.
Let's not even talk about the many of our brothers that's locked up. The system that seriously oppressed and locked them away. Some on death row and they ain't even did shit.
On death row.
But let's just also take back to what I said earlier. If tomorrow we woke up and a white man say, Israel, we gonna let y'all have y'all land back. We gonna leave. and you know, so y'all can go back to ruling yourselves, and we gonna do that. What kind of pushback you finna see to these niggas today?
Oh my goodness. Total chaos.
Do you think they will keep this law? Because niggas still fighting about JC and shit.
Honestly, I do not.
Even though the scriptures tell you we'll be tearing down every church that's built to a false god. And niggas is still clinging to Jesus. Church will be gone. And anyone that decide they gonna want to keep it too. Out.
Yeah.
Nigga. We all be fucked up. So Father, help me get it right. Because that's the only way I'm seeing that. And render unto our neighbors sevenfold unto your bosom their reproach. So they gonna we was a derision, a reproach, and a byword, and all of the stuff that we experienced. We trading place. Do you see that happening now with the Jewish people that stood in our position, that caused us to fall, that did all of the things that they were doing to make sure our ass went into captivity, but gave us a whole nother God? Niggas, do you not understand? Do you see it? Do you see them losing their grip? Nigga, you get like people ain't even dealing with anti-Semitism that much no more. Cause you really get to hear that. In essence, what we get into, right? Verse 11 was the sign of the prisoners that come before you according to the greatness of your power. Preserve those that are appointed to die. There is a thing that is set at this point where you already know that there is nobody coming for us. COINTELPRO, nigga. They gonna keep giving you people uplift. They already finna whammy bammy our ass. Listen to this shit, cause I know y'all know I don't play around. So I was reading an article. Let's see the article. Where the article? Alright, me doing this. Where the hell that article at? I'm supposed to come home and do work, but I still didn't go home and do work. Okay, right here. Okay, let me go to this side. Sorry, y'all, I'm going through my history so I can find it. I'm looking for an article, y'all. Give me 1 minute.
Give me more.
Forex. Okay, here it is. This is it, right? Okay. So this is an article. It says, here's how much you'll need to earn to live comfortably in major U.S. cities. If you want to live comfortably in an American large city, it will come at a high price, according to the new study. An individual must earn 96 $1,500 a year before taxes to afford housing, groceries, transportation, and entertainment, while also paying off debt and putting some money into savings, according to personal finance website Smart Asset. A two-parent household supporting two children needs a combined income of $235,000 to live comfortably, Smart Asset said in a study released Thursday. Those income levels only apply to Americans living in the nation's 99 largest cities. We in Birmingham, that's one. Yep. According to Smart Asset Study, which also noted that it takes an even higher salary to reside in sprawling metropolitans like Boston, New York, Los Angeles. So it costs way more than what the fuck they just said in Boston, Chicago, Los Angeles, and New York. Those are way bigger than the ones that... Yes.
Major cities.
Yes.
Highly
more
populated.
Not mine just said more than that.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But remember, niggas, I told y'all last. I told you if y'all don't learn how to work together, you won't have it. But our nigger asses don't know how to work together. Let me let you hear some bullshit I saw yesterday. This is how you know we finna really be in a fucked up place because we ignorant as shit. Yeah, we some ignorant asses. Hold on, let me turn this up.
Hold on. I don't think he wrote nothing, ever.
Let me find it. Hold on, I gotta get there. Okay, here it is. Listen to it.
Don't write shit.
I'm not a writer, I'm a writer. I'm not a writer, I'm a writer.
Yeah, he's a biter. Ain't no writer. He biting. He stole. Nigga, that nigga stole.
If the system isn't going to change, and it's not, if the female isn't going to change, and she's not, who needs to change? Us. We do. We've tried everything.
When he say us, he mean black men. All right, goddamn.
Thing. And we fail. The only thing we haven't tried is violence. And we know that will actually succeed. Historically speaking, it's always been the case. When you read the Bible, what does it tell you to do? All the women, take the younger females.
Now, you know, these dumbass niggas love to use the Bible, right? Nobody would die unless they were seen by two or three witnesses. That's because they don't. It's always the Christians that be talking the bullshit.
It's your wives. That's how you rid the world of evil. That's how you control a population to the point where much of the evil within that population won't be passed down to the next generation. That evil doesn't pass from the father to the child. It passes from the mother to the child. So all the...
You know he don't even fucking know science, right?
I thought you are who your father was.
You are. So that's why I said Christians don't know shit. Neither do they fucking know science.
That's the other people.
See what happened when y'all niggas listen to shit on TikTok? This motherfucker's on TikTok, but he also is on YouTube. This is an ignorant ass man. But we're going to keep going.
Negative things that we see in our environment, that came from this black woman. And what's awful what's heart-wrenching.
It's funny that he doesn't blame the system, but we know that the system is set up to cause certain stuff. But we ain't even going to talk about all of the psychological warfare that they deal with on a regular basis. Don't get me wrong, nigga women is in some bullshit space, but niggas is in the same fucking space. Like, so we just gonna forget daddies, they ain't even in the motherfucking home is the reason why some of these kids is in the state of mind they in, but we just gonna forget all about, just gonna place blame, everything is the woman's fault. This nigga said, all. Oh, Father God, please don't make me say nothing bad against my own.
It's that other races of women are starting to emulate the behavior of Black American women.
Now, do you know anything about Asian women? Because they was sassy long before now. Do you know anything about Hispanic women? They sassy as fuck too. I mean, like, really? We impacting the mindsets of these people? I thought we make our own decisions up. So how is it that we got people doing all kinds of shit that they make decisions to do it by themselves? I live in the same society. I don't operate in the same manner. So the fuck he talking about? This is the fucking shit with internet. People just got platforms and they just say a whole bunch of reckless ass shit. But you know what happens when you say reckless shit, niggas? You're gonna be accountable for the fucking lies you tell. The last thing this nigga posted is 2020. I wonder why. Maybe he no longer living. And don't think it. I ain't being mean and I'm not trying to be facetious, but you this kind of talk, you don't understand. If you talk this way, yeah, some shit coming for you. God is the retribution that straighten up shit. So when you literally blame your people for all of the systematic bullshit that's going on in this country, oh, you a ignorant motherfucker. Oh, this had me so motherfucking mad. And I told y'all niggas, they gonna keep using these ignorant people to make declarations. For this man literally just said all Black women need to die. And we're going to take the young girls. So what are they doing? They're going to take the kids under the age of 18?
That's basically what he's saying here.
So basically what he's trying to tell us, he a pedophile, because he said young girls. Young girls. And can I say it one more time? Young girls.
Take the young girls, train them up. And then they want to.
So we ain't going to hold niggas' families accountable for the bullshit either, huh? Their father's not accountable for shit either, huh? And I ain't saying motherfuckers don't be corrupting minds. You know how I talk. This is some dumb shit.
This can't be allowed to continue. If you care about making any kind of meaningful change, you gotta consider this Black woman. And don't do it in such a way as to prevent you from taking action. Don't wait for everyone to agree with you. There are times where you just have to be the first to do something, even though you might risk being the only one to do it, which I guarantee you will not be the only one. Black women, trust me.
He's provoking Black men to kill Black women. That's exactly what he just said. Y'all got daughters, y'all better talk to them.
Those who've always done God's work, the Creator's work maybe, those people have always been ostracized. Never been the majority, they've always been the minority. They've always said the most...
And fucking thank Kevin Samuels for this bullshit. And Tommy Sotomayor and all the rest of them ignorant ass niggas. I can't even listen to them anymore. Look for more of this shit. But remember, didn't I tell you a while back they was having this conversation about euthanizing? Y'all gonna start hearing more of this talk. So we just gonna fall into play and just keep doing the dumbass shit they want us to do to stay separated. This is the purpose, to keep us divided.
Divided in few. In small numbers.
You out here talking about killing somebody? They don't understand God's retribution.
No, they don't.
Niggas, I don't know what to say. I really don't. Damn, that's some stupid bullshit. I was so mad. Last night.
You cannot consistently treat a person bad and expect them not to switch up on you. More or less, you can't get mad for that person switching up on you when you treated them bad the whole time. A person is going to change after being mistreated for so long. Even good hearts have limits. Even people who have good souls, they got limits on them, bruh. There's only so much they can take before they have to switch up in order to protect themselves. And they're going to go through a process and create a barrier. And when they come out on the other side, you're not going to like that person because you caused them to change. And what happens is they develop this new type of character, this new barrier, this new measure of protection. So when they see a person or they get involved with another person and that person starts doing actions that resembles anything of the person that made them change initially, they are going to block that person out of their lives. They're going to immediately remember, oh, I remember. I remember this. This is so, so familiar to me. I don't want nothing to do with this because I remember what I had to deal with and go through with this person. I'm sorry, you got to get out of my life. That's the process in which they're going through. They're manifesting a mechanism in which they can now protect themselves from people like you. And I'm going to leave you guys with this one. Watch how a person treats a person that they don't need in their life. It's easy to treat a person good who you need. You need them. Obviously, you're going to treat them good. You want something out of them. Watch how they treat people that they don't need, because that's going to be a defining moment in their character, because at some point they're not going to need you and they're going to treat you the same way. And that's facts. You cannot consistently treat a person.
Thoughts? Thoughts?
He's got some biased opinions.
He got some wise opinions.
He's got some biased opinions.
This right here? You felt it was biased? Let's listen one more time.
To bed and expect them not to switch up on you. More or less, you can't get mad for that person switching up on you when you treated them bad the whole time.
That's not bias. He's talking about defense mechanisms. Yeah. Oh, that other motherfucker.
Yeah, I thought it was that guy.
Oh no, it's not the same person. This is a defense mechanism, right? You give people the benefit of the doubt in the beginning of any relationship. As soon as they start showing you something different, you get yourself on guard.
Yeah.
And the more on guard you have to be, the more you delineate from the relationship.
A person is going to change after being mistreated for so long. Even good hearts.
Not everybody change. And let me tell you why they don't. People who have good, healthy sense of selves and understand the object of behavior, as the baby told me today, he said, I always watch people and pay attention to how they act towards me. He said that's one of the reasons why he is so interested in psychology.
Yeah, you gotta stop and think.
And I told him, I said, he asked me how did I start it or got in my field. And I told him I started off teaching and I wanted to be a teacher. But I started doing more conversations with my students, which took me down this avenue. And I said that the defining factor for me was when my student came and she told me when she was graduating, and she's like, Miss K, because I was Dr. K then. Miss K, I asked her, what's next? Because she's graduating. Uh-huh. And she said, well, I'm going to school. And it was out of state. She chose somewhere far. Mm-hmm. And I'm never coming back home. And I asked why.
And so she's
running away. Yeah, she said, because her and her mother didn't get along. She was interfering with her relationship with her father.
Okay.
And she didn't want her to see her dad. And she reminded me of Diamond. And that was one of the things. Diamond, remember I used to come pick Diamond up?
I thought you said Dinah.
No, Diamond. And she, her mother didn't want her to see it.
Yeah,
she wanted to see her father. No, 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 letter. But she said her mom called her like bitches and stuff. And she said, I don't want nothing to do with her after I graduate from high school.
Toxic environment.
Yeah. And I told her, I said, never coming back, that means your kids will never get to know your mom. I said,
your father.
Yeah.
She
was going to build a relationship with dad because that's what she wanted. But her and her mom, they had two different relationships.
Yeah.
The mom was interfering. She didn't want her to have a relationship with him at all. She was being facetious.
She was making it about her.
Yes. So she, I told her, I said, you're going to, no, but I told her, I said, have you ever told your mom how you feel about the way she talks to you? She said, no. I said, well, I have kids and I know if my kid left and went to college and I never seen her or him again, it would kill me. And especially
she'll never know why.
Exactly.
She just
disappeared, never came back. Yes, exactly. So I said, go home and have a conversation with your mom about how you feel. If she says she wants to fix it, then give her the opportunity to do that. I said, but if she don't,
then you try.
No home, no foul. You've already done it. You opened the door. It was closed. Now you have a right to.
Now you can freely leave with an open heart.
That's right.
Knowing that you tried.
She went home. I think that was a weekend. I think that was Friday. And then you know how they do like 2 days. And then they be practicing for 2 days. You mm-hmm. don't see them. So they're not in class. So. Yeah. She left me a letter on my desk. I still have her letter. I still have it. She said, thank you so much, Dr. K. Me and my mom had a talk. And she said she was sorry. And that she wanted to, for her to give her a chance to try so they can mend their relationship. I said, oh, I cried. I got that letter. But that was the day I knew that being a therapist
was your calling?
Was my calling. That's what I told him. And I said, took a long time to get here. I got that.
Was that the only student you ever helped?
No. Many before her. Because I had guys gangbanging niggas that I got out of the gangbanging stand on that ass. But you know, that was the day that I knew that I was called to do this. Yeah.
Have limits. Even people who have good souls, they got limits on them, bruh. There's only so much they can take before they have to switch up in order to protect themselves. And they're going to go through a process and create a barrier.
This is why I said.
And when they come out on the other.
This is why I said it depends upon the person, because some people aren't strong enough to handle and manage to come back from being in this space.
True.
But strong people understand that people just have things that they haven't been able to work through. And you don't become bitter.
Right. It's a different mindset to realize.
Yeah. That's what you call some grown-up shit. But most people are not at that level of maturity. That's when you go back to that mental maturity. When you hear me talking about mental maturity. Mental maturity gives you the ability to understand some people just not in the right space. To really receive love the way you might want to give it. But still having the understanding to know to pull yourself away. Because he's saying pulling away. Yeah, they'll pull away. They'll pull away because they're being hurt. But they don't pull away in malice. It's just a response from,
you know,
how, what things are, or how things, themselves. Which is normal.
It's a human
fight, thing. Fight or flight. Goddamn.
Retreat into yourself.
Yeah. It's not even retreat. It's just removing yourself. If you can't force something to work, if
it's a tactical retreat.
Yeah, tactical, goddamn.
Aside, you're not going to like that person because you caused them to change. And what happens is they develop this new type of character, this new barrier, this new measure of protection. So when they see a person or they get involved with another person and that person starts doing actions that resembles anything of the person that made them change initially, they are going to block that person out of their lives.
No, basically what he's saying is when you get triggered, because those are triggers, right? You're triggered by a past event. Now, people with good sense would be like, you triggering the shit out of me. Let's have a conversation about that
those
shit.
Those that recognize their triggers.
Yeah, most of us don't recognize the triggers at all. Don't know you're being triggered.
To assess the situation and back away from the situation.
But understand, see, mental maturity will still take you to a place where you're having the fucking conversation. That's what mental maturity does. We heard that enough. I have a very good one. I think I got two more and then I'm gonna get off. Because it's been a long day. And niggas still ain't done their fucking notes and I'm a whole week behind, goddamn.
A whole week, man.
Nigga.
I think you need to start. You need a whole week to catch up.
Nigga.
Do not expect your woman to be everything you want her to be when you're not being everything she needs you to be. Just like a man needs respect to feel love, a woman needs love to feel loved. When you don't take care of your woman, you don't take care of yourself because she's going to cause you problems. I don't mean that she want to leave you, but she's not happy and she's going to...
It also don't mean she want to get on your goddamn nerves. She's being vocal about what she needs. When someone is telling you what they need from you, they're being vocal about it.
She's being vocal and displaying it in action.
Uh-huh.
Out and throw tantrums, and she gonna show you different ways of letting you know that I'm not okay.
Oh, and tantrum, that's some childish shit. See that?
That happens usually.
It still goes back to mental maturity. Yes. What did he mean, tantrum? See what happened when you got therapists that don't... These people ain't therapists, they just be talking.
That's not all women, though.
No. But anybody in a relationship with anyone, they throwing tantrums. That's a lack of mental maturity and run, nigga. Run. Cause that's not a good relationship to be in. Let them get some healing. If they throwing tantrums, oh shit. Do you know who throw tantrums? Babies.
Children.
Small children. And when you see a grown person throw a tantrum, you already know they're stuck in a very young age or a mindset. They lack mental maturity. I know y'all didn't like that, but it's true.
It's the truth.
What are your plans, man? Make her feel important. Make her feel important. You need to make her feel like a priority. Give her attention. Give her affection. You need to make time. And if you're not loving on her and you're not nourishing her and giving her the proper maintenance that she needs, man, she gonna go bad on you. It's only a matter of time, I promise you. And that creates more problems in your life, because if she's distracting you, then that's less attention and less energy that you're putting in the other pots that you need to be watering. You got to build the business. You got employees. You got investments you got to make. You got overtime that you got to put in at the job.
Now go on with it, nigga. And investments is when you looking at all that your family has to offer, there are diverse divestments, and then there's investments. Investments is the thing that you're willing to invest in, to put the time in, to do the work in, because you're going, you know, the benefit of what you're putting the time and work into will flourish something positive. But in a time in space where we had dumbass niggas like that motherfucker I just saw, and a couple of other videos that you didn't see any crazy women. I seen a whole video on a woman. She literally had fucking, what is it, 20 grand in a bank, and she ain't tell her husband about it. She don't even work. Just storing up money. He found it, accidentally opened up a bill, asked her about it. What you mean? This is about me. I need the money. You know, you try to leave my ass and you might go off with it. But you don't work. I don't care. Damn. That's what y'all ass got now. Now, I get why the man said he want them to die. Because they doing shit like that. But that don't mean that they supposed to die. And they just gonna, because they've been picking all the wrong women because they so busy looking at a woman's ass, and that's probably their goddamn problem. Because you don't know how to pick a woman. Oh, I said that shit. I meant that shit. Oh, yeah, I stand on it. Most of y'all don't even know how to keep a woman, let alone pick one. Oh, that's a hell of a mic drop, though.
Respect your woman. And to be everything you want her to be when you're not being everything she needs you to be. Just like a man needs respect to feel love, a woman needs love to feel loved. When you don't take care of your woman, you don't take care of yourself, because she's going to cause you problems. I don't mean that she want to leave you, but she's not happy and she's going to pout and throw tantrums, and she's going to show you different ways of letting you know that I'm not okay.
Ain't nobody finna throw no fucking tantrums. I'm sorry. We just not finna do that. Yeah, no. Grown folks around here, we have conversations and shit.
Fellas, let me tell y'all something. Y'all gotta stop thinking that you can save that girl for last. So many of y'all know that y'all got a good woman by y'all side. A woman that is literally for you. She done showed you every which way possible that she loves you, that she's for you, that she wants you and your family to work, or she sees the potential in your situation and want it to grow. And so many of y'all take advantage of that. It's like y'all take it for granted. The more a woman explains to a man how much she like him or love him, it's like y'all, it boosts y'all up to go play more games. It's almost like y'all feel like she's not gonna go anywhere. And I'm here to tell you one thing about a woman, she's still gonna play her part, especially if she love you. If she love you, she's still gonna show you that she love you. She's still gonna make sure she do her womanly duties. She's still gonna explain to you her interests and all of that. But she's also noting and docking things down. Her emotional state.
Whoa, boy, she talking to a nigga, goddamn.
She's watching
you. To see if you gonna step up.
She's watching you. She's taking notes.
This testing. To really see if you about the shit you say. I'm just gonna say it.
She
that's how I.
She don't follow along.
Ain't nobody got time for playing games. I'm making notes.
That's the thing about it. She don't stop what she's doing.
No.
But she's watching you.
Oh, yeah.
Making a mental note about every misdeed you are doing.
Even when you show up all the time.
Because when to the point, coming to the point where she's had enough of your stuff, she has the proof to walk away. Because you have displayed all of those things.
It's not being fulfilled. So therefore, she's getting further and further away from you, piece by piece by piece, until one day she wakes up and realizes that she's no longer wanting to be in a relationship or the situation or whatever you guys got going on. Y'all got to stop thinking that y'all can save that girl for last. If you know that you don't see a full potential relationship with her, let that girl go. Y'all be so afraid to let the next man get that woman and do right by her, so y'all want to gaslight her. Feed her breadcrumbs. Give her just enough so that she don't go nowhere. Let that girl go. Let that girl be happy. Let her go be loved by somebody who can love her. Y'all know that y'all got a good woman, but instead of taking that for what it's worth, it's kind of like a flex for y'all. Yeah, she minds. I got her, and I know I got her. It's like, no. If you got her and you're not going to do right by her, why don't you let the next man do right by her? Why don't you let the next man love on her? Why are you being selfish? Why are you blocking that woman's blessing? Why are you blocking her interest like that? I hate when I see good women just sitting there waiting for a man to do right. That stuff be really, that's not cool, man. Let that girl go be happy, man. If you know you don't want her in that way, stop trying to save that girl for last after you done went outside and messed with everybody and now you see that it ain't nothing out there. Well, I guess I could be with her. No, don't nobody want no might as well love. I might as well marry her. We've been together this long. I might as well make her my girl. I might as well do right by her. No, don't nobody want no might as well love. Stop doing that girl like that. If you don't want that girl, let that girl go.
Now they
want to settle. Now that's a wise ass young nigga woman right there. Yeah, she
you
is.
Wasted her life at Ooh, this point. Yeah. That's exactly what you did. Wasted her life. She could have been out there being happy, finding somebody better who's going to work with her. But you decided to monopolize.
Listen, bro. Check this out, bro. Look, life is giving out big storms right now, bro. But I'm not even about to play around no more, bro. Once I get through this storm, I'm not joking around no more, bro. I'm only going to joke around when I want to joke around. But most of the time, bro, I'm going to be dead serious, man. Because we is in a time right now where there's no more time for playing around, no more games, man. Man, I'm in a season right now, bro. Isolation, bro. This isolation is real, man. Because you find out you don't got nobody, bro. You find out the only people you really need is God, bro, and he's not even a person. You can't pick up the phone and call nobody, bro, and the enemy will make you think that you don't have anybody to turn to when you have everything you need, man. Man, I can't even see my son, bro. I want to have my son with me, bro, but my life is not corrected all the way for me to have him, bro. Man, my mind is getting so strong, bro. I really want my child with me, bro, because I love my son, bro, and his brother, man. But I gotta get it together, bro. Time is not on my side, bro, because I don't understand where all this time is going, bro. It's just slipping away, bro. And the enemy really want me to think that I'm wasting time, but when I'm not, I'm actually pinpointing and doing exactly what God want me to do so I can have everything I want and desire in my life, bro. But this storm that I'm in, but once I get through it, it's over, bro. I'm going to be so successful, bro, because it took me to go through all this stuff I'm going through, bro. It took me to go through this, to learn, to appreciate people, to appreciate life, to appreciate cars, birds, you know what I'm saying, trees, bro. I am really, really feeling, bro. Man, I encourage anybody who listens to
this. I thought I saw a motherfucker's
face. Wake up, bro, when you find out that life is a big orchestrated movie, bro, a big game. When you find out life ain't nothing but a big story, bro, you gonna finally understand the pieces of the puzzle that you gonna have to put together, bro, for yourself, because it's bigger than you. This is big, bro. This is big, and our parents been trying to tell us how big this is. We was not listening, bro. I want my sons to know how big this is, man, so they won't have to cry all the time. I'm praying for everybody, bro. That's all I can say, man. Listen.
I heard this young man weep. And my heart aches. Because so many brothers are going through a lot of things and they hold things in. Most of y'all ass be fighting by yourself. And you don't even need to fight by your damn self. There's nothing worse experiencing a hardship alone. and choosing to do that. Some people literally got people around them that will literally help them, but they refuse the help. They rather figure it out. This is what I stay on my son ass about. Because he feel like he got figured all by himself. I got to do this on my own. I don't want no help. Y'all pride keep y'all ass in trouble, niggas. Pride cometh before fall. And having pride don't work, baby. It don't work. You can walk in all the pride you want, but it won't work. And you don't have to experience hardships alone, especially when you got people that are willing to do it with you. I think I got one more.
My grandmama told me, if a woman like you, boy, if a woman really like you, it ain't nothing in this world she won't do for you. And I said, well, shit, grandmama. How you know if a woman really like you? She say she'll give you her money. Boy, if a woman won't give you her money, nigga, say, y'all, say. Now you see why you got to get her money. And sometimes you can't get no money from her. Nigga, cause you like the bitch way more than the bitch like you, nigga. And you say, I'm gonna hurt you niggas' feelings, nigga. Cause one thing about it, you nigga grew up under your mamas ain't give you no game, nigga. You nigga just run out the house with your pants down, nigga, with them dirty drawers, and you went and got with that woman, and that woman cleaned you niggas up. That woman helped your motherfucking credit get right. That woman helped you get up on your feet. That woman showed you how to get them bumps, them hair bumps from the back of your head. She showed you how to get them cleared up. Showed you how to go down there, nigga, and get your teeth fixed. Now here it is, a lot of you, nigga. The woman done dust you niggas off, done made you niggas better men. And here it is, you niggas run back down off in that motherfucking slum and ghetto, just done run off on the woman. You can't imagine, nigga, how many women send me them strawberry letters in my motherfucking inbox, talking about some low-down, dirty nigga. She done invested her money into the nigga, done bought the nigga new tennis shoes before she got with the nigga. The nigga didn't even have good soles on the bottom of them motherfucking shoes. Before she got with the nigga ain't never had no matching pair of socks since she left out his mama house. Boy, the nigga don't know what it's like, to wake up, nigga, to have sheets in the motherfucking laundromat in there, nigga. You got clean sheets, you got clean pillowcases, and goddamn me, the mattress clean. Nigga didn't know nothing about no kind of living like that till he got with some kind of woman, and the woman cleaned him up real good. And what them niggas do? What them niggas do? They want to go back to where they came from, hanging out in them old dirty ass slums and gutters, hanging out with them old broke ass niggas, hanging around them old funky ass bitches, playing like they better than everybody. As soon as they think they on their feet, they want to shake the bitch and shake the woman and play like they can go stand on their own. Nigga know good goddamn well they ain't met now nigga in their life. They can stand on their own without no woman, nigga. Say, man, let these niggas drown, lady. These niggas come out the penitentiary. These niggas get out the penitentiary. Every nigga you know get out the penitentiary. What do you do? Find him a woman. That's his lifeline. That's these niggas' lifeline. You don't know now, nigga. Ladies, y'all don't know now, nigga, when y'all fucking on that nigga. The first time you over at his apartment, every woman who give up some pussy, she got to give up some pussy in her house. Here it is. You got good furniture in there for that nigga to sit on. He got, nigga ain't never been able to get no big screen TV that he didn't have to pawn. Most of these niggas, if they done had a big screen TV, they done lost it to the pawn shop. Most of these niggas, if they done had a ring, a panky ring, a watch, or a necklace, these niggas done lost it to a pawn shop. Most of these niggas, if they done had rims, guess what they did to the rim? Say, man, I got some rims for sale. Or they done took it to the pawn shop. Now, here it is. They give it to you ladies. Y'all been working since high school. Y'all done figured out how to manage your money. And you're doing right with your life. Here this nigga come with that good mediocre ass dick. It's only good for the first 90 days. Because you went so long without having dick. You've been going to church. You've been sitting up in that motherfucking church house trying to be celibate. Call yourself. You go get right with the Lord. Now here it is. This good looking, a half looking, a good talking, a good dressing joker. Done come along your path and you done thought you done got you something. You looking the nigga upside his head. He's saying all the right things in the beginning. You know how these niggas do. You know how these niggas do. In the beginning, these niggas jump. These niggas will jump through a ring of fire. Boy, these niggas be just like they'll jump through a ring of motherfucking fire to get to you. Once they get that pussy, couple times, once you start letting that nigga come over to the house, waking up at the house, then you start saying, man, this nigga really ain't what I thought this nigga was. And then here you go. Now you got problems. You can't get rid of the nigga. For one.
But he be talking some real shit, I swear to God.
On point.
He be talking some real shit, nigga, goddamn.
With everything.
It's a reason why God said he give you a what? A helpmeet. Our job is to do exactly what he's saying.
Lighten load.
Niggas,
Oh my goodness.
Sound like Danny. Nigga.
Oh-wee. Haley Knox, y'all. Watch her build this motherfucker up.
Let me get my life together. Last one.
Do not expect your woman to be everything you want her to be when you're not being everything she needs you to be. Just like a man needs respect to feel love, a woman needs love to feel loved. When you don't take care of your woman, you don't take care of yourself, because she's going to cause you problems. I don't mean that she want to leave you, but she's not happy and she's going to pout and throw tantrums and she's going
to
show you.
My bad, y'all niggas. I didn't mean. I really didn't mean to. This is what happened when you ain't paying attention and shit. My bad.
What man in the history of toxic men have ever went back to their ex and said, I didn't change, I'm the same person that hurt you? Said no man ever. Y'all keep saying, well, he said he changed. Of course that's what the fuck he gonna say. You think that man gonna say, listen, I'm the same man that don't know how to see your worth, that don't know how to be...
Listen, niggas, what the ex be calling. Nigga, he be acting like he a fool. He forgotten what with his ass for 20 years, goddamn. And he be talking about how he be doing that. You know, I'm doing this now, I'm doing that now. Soon as he don't get the fuck he want, he get mad and don't talk to my ass.
He turn out the real.
Oh, come on now, goddamn. Listen. This is how I know it. This is nothing. Fuck it.
A great partner in a functional relationship. So accept me how I used to be. I'm the same man. Take me back. You think that's what a toxic man gonna say? Every man that wanna come back in your life gonna say they changed. Gonna act like they went to therapy. They gonna be like, well, I just miss you. I realized what I lost. Bullshit. That's the same line toxic exes always feed you. Why the fuck you keep believing it? You think he gonna be honest about the fact that he went and tried to be single, but it wasn't all it was kicked up to be? Or maybe that girl he was eyeing that he thought was better than you, and it turned out that 20% he was getting from her don't match the 80% he was getting from you, and now he want the old thing back. That's the truth. But nah, what he gonna say? I changed. I'm better. I'm finally ready for a relationship. And y'all be like, you changed. Every toxic ex changed. No toxic ex in the history of toxic exes gonna ever hit your line talking about I'm the same. What man in the history of toxic
the same nigga, no, they be displaying the same shit. Nigga. Oh my God, black men. I'm gonna be quiet.
I'm trying to be quiet.
Ooh. I can't wait to see what becomes of my article today. My article went out today. I got to check and see it.
Everybody saw me sick, and it felt like no one gave a shit. They criticized the things I did as an idiot kid.
That's Justin, nigga.
That's when you know God is working on your soul.
I'm so lonely. Lonely.
Niggas was listen. When you have been dropped low to the ground, and everywhere you thought Father, when God is dealing with you, when He is dealing with you, He really knows how to humble us. I have been in a, Father, thank you so much. Y'all don't understand, that accident's fucked me up. There is nothing like the way God humbles. Because when you get up, you know how when you were coming up in like the 90s? And the early 2000s, there's a statement, you better recognize the God you serve. Well, let me tell you what I've been getting to see. Woo! There is something that He is doing with this, the young men. I have ran into a couple seers, prophets, and it's the truth telling, truth seeking, standing on some heavy shit, because y'all ass don't want to get it together. Y'all supposed to lead these young men. How is it that the young man is stepping up and getting ready to lead y'all ass? I had a conversation with my baby. I'm like, shit, I'm ready to be led, goddamn nigga. I don't want to be the carrier of everything. I need to be in the place where I'm ready to receive man leading me. Leading me to God. Leading me in understanding. Leading me in righteousness. Standing where I can learn from Him. So y'all need to understand what it's like to have that. For someone to trust in your leadership. And actually want to be fucking led. Can I say it now? Y'all niggas.
I don't know if y'all know this shit or not, but real women come with rules. You just won't be able to get her and treat her any kind of motherfucking way. Oh, no. Oh, no. She's not going for that. A woman that knows her worth and is capable of loving herself in regards to what type of man she's connected to, have no motherfucking problem putting you in your place when you get out of your place. So if you're the type of man that can't stand constructive criticism, you might want to leave that good woman alone, because they definitely going to get on your ass when you get out of line. I'm just trying to motherfucking tell you. I said what I said. I'm standing in on it for sure. And that don't make her a good, bad woman. That makes her an absolutely motherfucking good woman, because a good woman wants to see the best in you and also help you bring out the best in you. And even if that means goddamn saying some shit to hurt your feelings at times, it is what it is, man. Y'all got to stick your chest out and hold your motherfucking head up, man, and understand that it's out of love when they come and get on your ass about you not being the man that you need to be or doing what you supposed to be doing in that relationship. For sure, free game.
That nigga said for sure, free game. Yeah.
Some real shit,
yeah. Real shit. Mm-hmm. I think the thing about that is, most people look at what he said as disrespect, but someone that really want to see you do well, they're gonna listen, right?
If you love somebody, you go change. I don't care what it is. Love demands change. You were not able to love properly if you don't change. And a lot of people be like, the man's supposed to change for the woman. No. If you love that person, both parties change.
Come on.
Love is not about giving you money, flowers, chocolates. It's not paying for a trip that you go take that's gonna last for 5 days and now you back at the house arguing. That is not love. You know what I'm saying? And I think this generation, they don't understand what love really is. Me personally, I've learned what love truly is. And if I love a person, I'm gonna change for that person. Whether it's me stop being selfish towards her, whether it's me not seeking attention from other people or validation from the world and focus on the person that I love,
yeah,
it's gonna require sacrifice, change. I cannot stay mad at you because I love you.
Come on.
Not saying that everything gonna be perfect, because it's not. But because I love you, I'm going to have patience. Because I love you, I'm going to have long suffering. The things that you try, because I see that you love me and because you changing your actions towards me and what I said hurt me, you changing your actions, I'm going to stick with you.
Come on.
And I'm not saying stick with somebody because you love them and they continue to do wrong. If a person continues to do you dirty over and over, even when you have said that this is not right and it hurts me, and they continue to do it, that's not love. Love is not gonna continue to hurt you, baby. Love ain't gonna continue to lie to you or seek attention or validation from her friends or from his friends or from Facebook. That ain't love. And anybody can give you money. Anybody can take you on a trip. That's attributes of love.
The brother said it's attributes of love. Because it's multidimensional. It's multifaceted. It's just not something that you fucking say. It's something that you do. It's actions. It's movement. It's respect. It's listening. It's honoring. It's communicating.
Man. They can show that type of love. But real love gonna require sacrifice. Yeah. And when you understand that, you gonna love different.
See, I know y'all didn't hear. I know you didn't really take it in. I don't think you really soaked it in. See, as a people, we don't value wisdom, so let wisdom talk to you. Let wisdom talk to you. Let wisdom speak to you. Wisdom is listening, taking heed and soaking in the knowledge that is given to you. You let that knowledge marinate. When God said, hold on, let me get you this one. Let me. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let me read Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now these are the commandments and statutes and judgments which Yahuwah Elohecha command to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whether ye go to possess it. Listen up. Huddle up. I'm giving you something that you got to listen to, that you got to adhere to. Not only that you got to hear, but listen, but you got to do. Not just listen and hear, but do. How do you know when you're offending God? He gave you laws, statutes, and commands to help you to understand the things in which you need to know. Verse 2, that you might fear Yahuwah Elohecha. Why I gotta fear God? Because the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The fear, the literal fucking fear of God, is the beginning of wisdom. It means it makes you wise. To fear God gives you wisdom, because you already know you don't cross him. You don't fuck around. You won't do what you ain't supposed to do, because you already know it's going to be retributions. You remember when you was a kid, you know, your parents would come and you'd be so scared. Especially when you know you done something wrong. You're fearful, boy. The longer they ain't got, the longer it takes for them to get you. You already know, dang, you take yourself near and your mama gonna be cooking dinner and everything, and you trying to figure out, because all of the stuff is going over in your mind. There's that fear. Fear. To guard all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you and your sons. So I'm not talking to just you. I'm talking to you and your kids and your sons' sons. Not just you and your sons' sons, but I'm talking about generations to come that ain't even here yet. Them too. All the days of your life. Did it say some days? Did it say days when I feel like, or days when I don't feel like it? All the days of your life. And that your days may be prolonged. So you have to do what is correct in the thing that I'm giving you. I need you to do it. I need you to take heed. I need you to perform it, meaning put it into action. But if you do them, put it into action, and you fear me, knowing that I'm going to whoop your ass, because when you get out of line, I'm going to get you back in line. That your life will be long. So what happened to the kids that snuffed out? Or the people that died very young? Well, they're good people, Father. Did they know the Creator? Were they keeping His commandments? Come on. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and guard to do. You notice he done said that twice. So when it's done twice, what? The heavens and earth testify. You know, we got to witness this thing that two times has already been said, right? That means it's doubly important, isn't it? You know when your parents say, I ain't going to tell you 10, 12, 13 times, but they will, right? Because y'all try them. You try them. And I ain't going to keep playing with you. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and guard to do it, that it might be well with you. And that ye may increase. Oh, Father, not only will it be well and prolong your life, but it will increase mightily. There's a production from doing this. So, Father, let me look at my life. Am I having a hard time financially? Is my financial situation, is it going right? Huh. No. It's not producing. I'm not producing. It following Torah makes you produce, right? Because you got a whole group of people ruling this motherfucking world. Following your principles, ruling and living like it's yours. You remember what I said earlier? Remember what the white man said? Yeah. As Yahu Elohai. Of your fathers has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Do you realize how prosperous America is? This production is great. I was reading yesterday Herodotus. Herodotus is a Greek historian, and he was talking about the lands beyond Libya. Libya is a term that they gave to Africa, so the whole land was called Libya at some point by the Greeks. Some of them also called it Ethiopia, because the Hebrew name for Ethiopia was what? Kush. Like shit you smoke. It had great lands. No trees, just flat lands. You remember me saying that these trees was brought here by the white man? That Alabama and all these, so the size of this place was clear. He said that it was a goodly place. Yeah. He spoke of it like it was a place that everybody would want to go, because if you lived there, there would be some sense of peace and tranquility, because everything you need is here. And even talk about the temperature being the right temperature. Whew. And the fragrance of the flowers that were here. But you know nothing about this America, because they don't teach it to you. Hear, O Israel, Yahuwah Eloheinu, Yahuwah is one. Shama Yisrael, Yahuwah Eloheinu, Yahuwah Echad. Brooks and Carol out. Kitai, Yehovah Wyatt. Hear, O Israel, Yehovah Eloheinu, Yahweh is one, alone, not with another person, not 3-in-1, 2-in-1 sitting beside me, riding with me, on the right hand of me. He shares his glory with no one, because anybody sitting on the right hand of him means he's sharing his throne. And he said, I don't share my throne with no one. Mm-mm. And you shall love Aleph and Tav from beginning to end, Yehovah Elohim, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. What a word is the word of God in your heart? Is it in your mind? Is it on the fruits of your lips? And you shall teach them diligently unto your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. From the time you wake up to the time you go to sleep, you shall speak of these laws, that they be well with you. They should even be upon your mind when you sleep. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your head, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, that be stored within your mind, that we leave markers so you can know. You know how people write Bible verses and it's all up and down through the house, but they're not the laws of God. And you shall write them upon the post of your house and on your gates. And it shall be when Yahuwah Elohecha shall have brought you into the land which he swore unto your fathers, to Ibrahim, to Yitzhak, and to Yaakov, to give you great and goodly cities, which you built not. I'm giving you a whole city and your ass ain't even done nothing to build it up. You ain't done the work. They just, the inhabitants just left it. You're just going to come in and take it. And houses full of all good things which you filled not. Do you know what that's like to go into a brand new house and everything is in there? You didn't pay for it. You didn't build it. You didn't put it in there. You just walking right on in to inhabit it. Oh shit, we don't know that life. Well, how could God give us that? And wells dug, which you dug not. Vineyards and olive trees, which you planted not. When you shall have eaten and been full. Meaning when you got to the point where you don't even need nothing, because everything you want or need is already at your fingertips. Do we know that life? No, we don't. Then be aware, lest you forget Yahuwah, which brought you forth out of the land of Mitzrayim, from the house of bondage. You shall fear Yahuwah Elohecha and serve him, and shall swear by his name. Remember the Christians told your ass you can't swear on, you can't swear on God's name? What did they say? Okay, hold on. You shall fear Yahuwah Elohecha and serve him and swear by his name. Meaning that's a check your ass can cash. And when you swear on it, it's gonna produce what it should. But don't swear by it falsely, because that shit gonna backfire on you. Ye shall not go after the other gods. Elohim with a little E. Of the Elohim of the people which are round about you. For Yahuwah Elohecha is a jealous God among you. Lest the anger of Yahuwah Elohecha be kindled against you. And destroy you from off the face of the earth. Do we sound like a God you can fuck around with? That you can play with, that you can just treat any kind of way, and there'll be no standard or retribution for the actions that you do or don't do that he asked or asked you not to. So when you do, when you want, and however you want, you're used to saying that there's a forgiving I can do and talk to God and treat him however I want. When I feel like picking him up, I'll pick him up. But I don't want to deal with him the day I want. When I want to pray, I'll pray. If I want to do this, I'm going to do that. Does that sound like... No. Hold on. For you who are Elohecha is a jealous God. And hear this word jealous, right? Isn't really jealous. Because they translated it wrong. Let's get the real essence of this here. Oh, Kwana, right? Oh, here we go. It's not really jealous. Okay, let me go find this. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm trying to find it. The translation. Okay, here it is. Jewish concept of jealous. It's basically like, it's more like, I guess if you look at it from the perspective that we're seen as his wife, right? It's more like protective or, protective is the best way to say it. Not that he's jealous, but he's a he's protective. And him overseeing or keeping us close, right, in essence, is really not a jealousy per se. Not to what we've come to really understand, but and it doesn't reflect him being vengeful or mean spirited or tyrannical, right? It's more of a protection, like a husband, he's going to protect his wife. So if someone does something to his wife, or it's the same protection that a parent has. We are very protective of our children. And when they do something incorrect that displeases us, we're going to make sure that there's that correction. That protection and that, that's the only way I can explain it, truly, is from a place of protection. Not so much as the understanding. Zealous, all right, is another good way to explain it. In essence, you know, when someone is zealous, they're over presumptuous and protective. It still goes back to that same place. That's the best way I can explain it. So I think the translation to say he's a jealous God is probably not so much the best translation, and it didn't translate over appropriately. So it would be more like I'm protective of my children, right? And every parent would be what? Protective. Even a husband is what? Protective of his wife. Your wife get out there doing some things that she shouldn't be doing. What you gonna do? You gonna pull her tail, right? And you gonna deal with her in dissatisfaction. Another way would be overprotective, right? And there's a standard. You've heard me talk about this before when I said, and I'm done reading that part, but I just wanted you to understand the wisdom of God is the important place where we need to be with him. And how strong he states the things that we should keep. So as I heard this man talk, it took me right to that place.
If you love somebody, you go change. I don't care what it is. Love demands change. You were not able to love properly if you don't change. And a lot of people be like, the man's supposed to change for the woman. No. If you love that
person. You remember me talking about how when you're in a relationship with someone and y'all really in a real relationship, and it's important for the two parties involved that each person elevates the other. Y'all both grow from each other. You learn and you flourish as a couple. This is what he's referring to. How we engage and grow from one another, because we're two individuals coming together collectively, and we're teaching each other, and we're teaching each other. We're learning each other, and we should be elevating and changing. Progress is always change.
Person, both parties change. Love is not about giving you money, flowers, chocolates. It's not paying for a trip that you go take that's gonna last for 5 days and now you back at the house arguing. That is not love. You know what I'm saying? And I think this generation,
that's tolerance. Love is patient. Tolerance is when you're putting up with someone and it's not really important for you to be in the relationship.
They don't understand what love really is. Me personally, I've learned what love truly is. And if I love a person, I'm going to change for that person. Whether it's me stop being selfish towards her, whether it's me not seeking attention from other people or validation from the world and focus on the person that I love, it's going to require sacrifice, change. I cannot stay mad at you because I love you. Not saying that everything gonna be perfect, because it's not. But because I love you, I'm gonna have patience. Because I love you, I'm gonna have long suffering. The things that you trying, because I see that you love me and because you changing your actions towards me and what I said hurt me, you changing your actions.
Remember I talked about that? It means by changing your action, meaning you finding compromise. When someone asks something of you and you find compromise, he said, if I'm saying something and I know that you tell me that if I tell you that you hurting me and you change what I ask of you, it's compromise. That's compromise. And it actually makes the person feel validated, because you heard me. And because you heard me, there was change. And I know you respect what I said to you. You understand that hurt me, and you heard when I said you hurt me, and because you heard me, you changed. It's a level of respect.
Stick with you. And I'm not saying stick with somebody because you love them and they continue to do wrong. If a person continues to do you dirty over and over,
it's not even about doing dirty, it's just about them not listening or hearing. Relationships don't work when we can't communicate. The tone of my week with all my clients this week has been about communication, family breakdown, and families not being able to communicate nor hear each other because they're all not listening. Because if you can't hear what I'm saying to you, do you really respect me? If I ask you for something and you don't acknowledge it, are you really listening to me? Or is it important to have, for me to have your ear? A wife is supposed to have her husband's ear, and a husband is supposed to have his wife's ear. What that means is, when I come to you and I'm talking to you, I want to know that what I'm saying to you matter to you. Because if it does, you're going to change.
Over, even when you have said that this is not right and it hurts me and they continue to do it, that's not love. Love is not gonna continue to hurt you, baby. Love ain't gonna continue to lie to you or seek attention or validation from her friends or from his friends or from Facebook. That ain't love. And anybody can give you money. Anybody can take you on a trip. That's attributes of love. Anybody can show that type of love. But real love,
that's not really real love. That's superficial. When tangible things are involved and it's all about exchanges, right? What's an exchange? You buy me this and I'll do this for you. If you do this, then I'll do that for you. That's exchange. Not supposed to be about exchange.
Love gonna require sacrifice. And when you understand that, you gonna love different.
Yeah. I'm gonna leave y'all with that. Let y'all marinate on it. Whew. God is good. And I'm excited about all the positive things that's going on in my life. He's doing some very great things. I'll talk to you about it later, but I am excited about this year. It's definitely going well. God is really, really, really moving well in my life. So, y'all keep him first. Obedience is better than sacrifice, family. When you say obedience is better than sacrifice, meaning if you obey, there will be no sacrifices. But if you don't obey, you'll be sacrificing a lot. It's a lot going on. I had to sit down with my kids. I'm like, yeah, it's time to plan and start stocking up on shit, because, yeah, it's about to be good and serious. So I ain't got time to be fucking around. So I hope y'all niggas don't start, you know, putting shit away, goddamn. Because y'all ass definitely going to need to be doing that. Put you some beans and some rice and shit, you know. Stock up on some tissue and water and shit. Because shit finna be real hot. Much love and respect. Niggas are tired and go sleep. Because I ain't been sleeping and some shit going on that I don't know. God is dealing with me on some stuff. But I ain't been able to sleep, so I'm telling y'all, be prepared. Just, I don't know, something going on. It's just, I haven't been able to sleep for about a week now. Much love and respect. Shalom. 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 Whichever one you choose. And you already know how we say it, right? Shammai Israel. Yahuwah Eloheinu. Yahuwah Echad. Baruch Shem Keolam, Utole Olam, Yehovah Wa'ed. Hear, O Israel, Yahuwah our God is one, and we shall love him with all our heart, and with all our mind, and with all our soul. So, niggas, one more, cause I had to, cause y'all know how we be looking for people to, come on.
Let me make this crystal clear for you, and this goes for men and women. If you're dealing with anybody and they can watch you struggle, they don't fuck with you. Especially somebody you're in a relationship with. If they think enough of you to fuck you, they think enough of you to waste your time, right? But they can sit back and watch you struggle, they don't fuck with you, because when you love somebody, it doesn't matter what it takes. It doesn't matter what you have to do. Y'all are gonna figure that shit out together. Now, this post is not for the people who've been a fuck up for the last 30 years. You burnt your bridges. I'ma watch you struggle. I'ma watch you figure it out, because I've helped, and me helping you was not enough. This is where you have to exercise tough love. But for the people that you really fucking love, and you know for a fact they never caught a break, you know for a fact they just never caught a string of luck or any of that, if you can sit back and watch them struggle, they don't fuck with you. And this is for men and women. You're sleeping.
Did you hear what he said? When you realize you're helping or assisting someone who never really caught a fucking break, and you roll with them because you wanted to see them fucking win, that's how you know a motherfucker's fucking with you. They really want you to come on now. You gotta, okay.
With them, you can party with them, you can hang with them, but when they see you in a bad spot, they don't go out their way to try to help you. They don't fuck with you. A friend is not based off of convenience. I base my friendships off, can I inconvenience you once or twice, and will you still move with the same energy that you're supposed to have?
Oh, come on, nigga, come.
Watching me struggle and think you about to fuck me. Let me make this.
Them New York niggas hit different.
Nigga.
Whew. Tug it. I'm sorry. Just one more time. Then I'm gone.
It's crystal clear for you. And this goes for men and women. If you're dealing with anybody and they can watch you struggle, they don't fuck with you. especially somebody you're in a relationship with. If they can, they think enough of you to fuck you, they think enough of you to waste your time, right? But they can sit back and watch you struggle. They don't fuck with you, because when you love somebody, it doesn't matter what it takes. It doesn't matter what you have to do. Y'all are going to figure that shit out together. Now, this post is not for the people who've been a fuck up for the last 30 years. You burnt your bridges. I'ma watch you struggle. I'ma watch you figure it out, because I've helped, and me helping you was not enough. This is where you have to exercise tough love. But for the people that you really fucking love, and you know for a fact they never caught a break, you know for a fact they just never caught a string of luck or any of that, if you can sit back and watch them struggle, they don't fuck with you. And this is for men and women. You're sleeping with them, you can party with them, you can hang with them, but when they see you in a bad spot, they don't go out their way to try to help you. They don't fuck with you. A friend is not based off of convenience. I base my friendships off, can I inconvenience you once or twice, and will you still move with the same energy that you're supposed to have? Watching me struggle and think you about to fuck me.
Come on, nigga.
Like begin, people. Duh. Whether you should be in a relationship with somebody and whether you like them, two completely different things. Like is basic as fuck. I like cheeseburgers. That don't mean I should be eating at Mickey D's. Because don't that technically qualify as that I like, but ain't it bad for me? And that's what a lot of folks be doing, is like, you just like some shit enough and you get close to it and you get close to it and you get close to it, and you've done no homework over whether that person is trustworthy, whether they communicate well. You just like them. Y'all too goddamn old to be letting like govern how you move with other adults. Like is, we used to write notes about in middle and high school. Do you like me, yes or no? We grown now. I have to pay taxes. What do you actually add to my life? I have some beautiful going on. I'm walking in my blessings. Can you add to that?
Come on.
But marriage, like, it's going to be times y'all don't like each other. What do you do then?
Come on.
Do you have the ability to work with your partner and move forward at times that y'all don't agree? Mm. You can't do nothing with like. You can't sustain a relationship with it. You can't raise kids with. That's why some people come and ask these questions, because they operated off like, and when the like is gone, they have no idea what to do.
Come on.
Ooh, clap it
and
up,
I'm
clap
saying
it up.
This from a sincere place, bruh. Stop letting like y'all up like that.
Now, that was some grown man shit. Now, that's a thing to cut on, goddamn. And basically, all he said is half of the things you always hear me say. Being in a relationship is deeper than bills and stuff. It's an emotional journey. But you gotta be in it with someone who's willing to go emotionally there with you.
Oh yeah, I like that. That's a good one. I'm gonna end on that.
Mm-hmm. Peace, fam.